Good morning, everybody. If this is odd for you to interrupt beautiful worship and all that, for me, I'm sorry. That's really, it is different. But we wanted to do this up front and then spend some time at the end worshiping. Is that okay? If we rearrange the order a little bit, are we that set on our little pattern? So, okay, very good. Very good. So, glad you're all here. A few odd things happening, obviously, based on what's going on in our society around us. One is we're videoing this. We normally don't actually just video and post this, but this will be posted too. So if there's somebody that you know is not here, I would refer them to our website and they can watch this video. And this will help, I think, give perspective to what we're going through as a society and how we're dealing with it as a local church. All right? So what we've decided to do today was not do the series that we started last week, if that's okay, and we're gonna talk about exactly the environment we're living in as a culture, and then how we're dealing with that as a church. So, unless you've been sleeping under a rock, you know there's a lot of unrest in our world today because of the virus, and you know stock market's dropping, and people are freaking out, and things are shutting down, and you can't even watch a game on TV anymore because there are not any, except for the pre-recorded ones, you know, that happened 3 years ago. So sports fans are dying on the vine as left and right. It's a sad, sad day. I don't pretend to be an expert on any of the medical side of this, and so I wouldn't even pretend to try to get any valid information on that stuff out to you because there's plenty of great sources for that. But I do want to speak to you from a faith perspective. How does a community of faith deal with the things that we're going through as a society today? There are lots of different responses that I've seen, and you've probably seen as well. How many have noticed the toilet paper craze? I don't know. It just seems a little bit bizarre to me, but if you are going to be isolated away for weeks and weeks and weeks and maybe years and months, I don't know, but what would be your first priority? Toilet paper is not on my list, really, really high anyway. It's like maybe down into second, third tier. But because my thought is, if you don't have food, you don't need toilet paper. Okay, so that's just me. All right, so there's lots of different approaches that you see people taking. One would be the isolation approach where, you know, stockpile rice and beans and hope for the best. Don't talk to anybody, don't see anybody, just isolate and keep yourselves isolated. Insulate, live in a bubble, and stay away from everything and everybody. There's the optimist approach that says, virus? What virus? You know, like, what are you talking about? I didn't know anything about that. And there's nothing to worry about anyway. And then there's the prepper approach. I've got my toilet paper, my hand sanitizer, my 2 pallets of water, my 6 months of food, and my guns to protect all my stuff. That would be one way to handle that as well. Now, all of those are extremist kind of positions to be in, and one of the things that happens in times of panic in society is people make extreme decisions based on extreme conditions that are not long-term. And it's best to kind of get a perspective before we start making big decisions. And so hopefully what I'm going to be doing today is giving you a little bit of perspective. And obviously this may not be a balanced message because I speak from a faith perspective. I speak as one who is a child of God. I speak as one who lives by faith. I speak as one who hopefully has the Holy Spirit helping me make decisions and all of that. And so that my perspective may not be the same as yours, and certainly will not be the same as mainstream that you're experiencing now. People of faith are a little bit different kind of people. And that's not a bad thing. That's a really good thing, I think. As disciples of Jesus, the filter that forms our decisions is different. Doesn't mean that we're not affected by the things that are going on. It just means that the way that that affects us and how we process the way that that affects us is different. We're just not of this world. Jesus has told us that over and over again. We're not of this world. We are of a different kind of world. And in that, we need to understand that the way we function is going to be different because we are not of this world. So I want to fairly briefly talk about this. Here's five ways that we are not like the world. And hopefully this is very, very relevant for the things we're going through. One is that we live by faith and not by fear. The world is freaking out right now. The world is panicking and making irrational decisions in certain arenas. And we need to understand that that's normal for those who would be consumed by the thoughts of this world. But it's not normal for a people of faith. That we need to be a people of faith and live by faith and not by fear. Nicole read that passage of scripture in Matthew chapter 6. It says, don't be anxious about your life. Don't be anxious. It ends up like this. If you want to go to the second slide in that passage of scripture, it says, therefore don't be anxious, saying, what are we going to eat, or what are we going to drink? What should we wear? The Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, don't be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Man, that's the truth. There's enough trouble around that you could be anxious if you wanted to, but Jesus says there's a different way that you can live. There's a way that you can live in this world, but not be of this world, not thinking the way of this world, and still be wise at the same time. It doesn't mean we cast wisdom out the door, but we live in wisdom, but we just don't live in the fear of all of the hype that's happening around us. We have to find a balance also between the hyper-faith kind of situation that says, well, I can immerse myself in a room full of people with the virus and not get it because God's going to protect me. I don't know. If you have faith to do that, go for it. I don't. I'm not going to do that. And at the same time, we have to be balanced to say, I'm not going to be subject to all the fear either. I'm not going to say, oh my gosh, I can't be around anybody for any length of time. I'm never going to see people until this whole thing is blown over. I think that would be living in on the total opposite end of the spectrum. There's somewhere in the middle that we can live between hyper-faith and absolutely no faith. That couples faith that Jesus gives us through his word and wisdom, that we can merge those two together and live in a way that actually glorifies God in that whole thing. In Philippians 4, Paul writes, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be made known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. There's a place where we can live in peace. There's a place that we can have this sense of calmness about us when everything else is going berserk around us. We can have some calm around us because we have the absolute fact that Jesus is with us, that God has he has orchestrated certain things to happen around us, and it's okay to live in and amongst those things without freaking out. That there's a peace that we can have in the middle of all that. And that might be hard to figure out all the ins and outs of that, but we just know that the scripture is true. When we submit all of those things to him and say, God, I am fearful right now, or I am anxious about these things. I'm anxious about some family members. I'm anxious about my financial condition. I'm anxious about what's going to happen in the next few weeks. I'm really anxious about that. The scripture is very clear. It says, give those things over to him and allow his peace to be exchanged for your fears. And that's a very solid bit of counsel that we can walk through. God's not surprised by any of this stuff, right? It's not like God's up in heaven going, oh my gosh, I didn't see COVID coming. What in the world? What happened here? He's not surprised. So as his people, we also should be able to rest in the fact that God is not surprised, that God is in control, that he actually has things in his hands, even though it seems like really terrible stuff is happening, and it is. But God is still in control. And so we can rest in the fact that if we are his kids, he is in control of our lives as well. So God's faithful, he is good, He always has been good. He has always been faithful to us. He has a plan. He won't leave us. He won't forsake us. He's working in all things. In Romans 8:28, it talks about how there's this, there has to be some confidence in the fact that in all the stuff that happens, even in the bad stuff that happens, that God is working all things for the good of those who love him. And it's times like these that actually test us to say, is that, do I really believe that? It's easy to say that when things are going well. Oh yeah, God works in all those terrible things when they're not happening to me. But what if they are happening all around us? Is he still working in those things to bring good for his people? I think so. And so those are some of the things that we have to have confidence in. So we live by faith. We don't live by fear. Secondly, we focus on our living hope, not on the situation around us. We just got through this series called Things Above, right? Yeah. Here's the keynote scripture for that whole series was this, Colossians 3:1. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. For you've died, your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you'll also appear with him in glory. Can we take our eyes off of this plane and lift them to a higher plane? Can we do that? Can we actually lift our minds to a thing that says, you know what, I know there's craziness going all around me, but I'm still going to keep my eyes on Jesus. I'm still going to lift my eyes to heavenly things. I'm still going to focus on things not that are surrounding me here, but the things that are more important, more long-term, not the transient things that are happening here. My confidence is not in my hand sanitizer. And I'm not saying don't use it. I'm saying use it, please. We got a big bottle of it out there. Use it. But my confidence doesn't ultimately rest in that hand sanitizer. Yeah? My hope is not resting in the government's response to the situation. I can't hope in that. It just doesn't, it doesn't bring me any confidence to say, oh, thank God the government's involved. I'm just saying. So, where is my hope then? My hope has to be in the confidence I have in God. It has to be in the long term lifting my eyes to the things that are above. And that's what I'm really longing for, is this confidence that builds and builds in us as a result of saying, you know, I know where things really rest, and they rest in God. Number three, this is how we're different than the world. We are sacrificial, not selfish. This is the calling on all Christians, to be sacrificial and not selfish. Philippians 2:3 says, don't do anything out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. During the early church, facing severe persecution, what was the response? Hunker down, isolate, hide away, lock up, get your gun. The position that the early church took was to say, let's go help those that are in need. Let's go relieve the pressures off of the people that are feeling so much pressure in their life as a result of persecution. We're the body of Christ. We don't act the way everybody else acts. We act in a whole different kind of a way. They didn't go to the Jerusalem Megamart to buy up whatever disinfectant was left. They didn't do that. I'm not saying don't do that. I'm just saying this is not the response of of a believer who really honestly has this true sense of I am one who is sacrificial like Jesus, not selfish like everybody else around me. I want to be sacrificial. I want to be giving away, not taking away. In Acts chapter 2, verse 44, it gives us an indication of this is the picture of what the early church was like. It says, all who believed were together. They had all things in common. They were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. Now, that's a beautiful picture of the way the church can and should operate. that the church is an active agent in society. It's not one that hides away and hunkers down and pushes everybody else away and says, get away, I got mine, you get your own. That's a terrible, terrible mindset to have, especially as a believer. So we are sacrificial and not selfish. Number four, we shine the light, we don't hide it. We don't hide it. Matthew 5:14, you're the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who's in heaven. This is an opportunity, I believe, for the church to give glory to God in ways that we rarely have opportunities. That in this time when people are freaking out and hiding out and isolating away, that we can be a people who go actively, proactively into society to be a light. That we actually do more to promote Christianity than we can in times of peace and calm. Because people need something to rest in. They need some sense of security. And the Bible gives us that through the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we, the people that represent Jesus, should have that message stamped all over us. That when we're out in society, we're bringing light. We're bringing this preservative influence. We're bringing something that dispels darkness into people's situations. We bring light. We don't hide it. And the way we hide it would be to say, oh, man, we got to just, like, hunker down, get away, isolate, don't let anybody get out. I have never used the terminology social distancing in my life before. And now we're finding that as common language, right? I didn't even know what it was 4 days ago. Social distancing? I don't know what that means. But now we're using that. And I'm not saying we shouldn't. I'm just saying that we can take that to an extreme to say, I'm going to distance myself permanently and securely. You're going to not see me. You're not going to see any ray of light coming out of me because I'm going to be locked in my bedroom. Nobody's coming in here, baby. Right? We can do that, but we're called to bring light. And we do that in all kinds of ways. We'll get into that in just a little bit. Here's something that I just found astounding to me. There's a book written a few years back called The Triumph of Christianity, How the Jesus Movement Became the World's Largest Religion. Sociologist Rodney Stark describes an epidemic that happened in 165 AD. It killed 25 to 30% of the world's inhabitants at the time. Talk about pandemic. People fled the cities in fear, refusing to care for ailing family members. Christians provided much needed care for the sick when no one else would. Stark believes that was one reason the church grew from an estimated 45,000 adherents during the first epidemic to over 1.1 million adherents when the second epidemic hit 100 years later. People were dying and Christians were being light. Now, that kind of thing makes a huge impact in the lives of people. When they see people that are vastly different than the rest of the craziness that's going around them, and they're actually investing their lives to help and assist, it creates this sense of, man, I can trust those people, and I want to be like those people. What is their secret? And I believe that in times like this, we can be salt and light like we could never be in any other time. And so we can't be people who hide away. If we're going to be contagious, let's be contagious Christians, okay? Can we do that? I think we should be very contagious in our faith, that we share our faith, that we be aggressive in our faith, that we be very vocal in our faith, that we say, when people say, what is going on around us? I say, well, I'm a part of this world, but I'm really not a part of this world. Here's the way I think about it. Here's the filter that I use. I use this filter called the gospel to think about it. We should be spreading and spreading and spreading hope and love. We should be spreading life in Christ. We should be spreading the hope that's found in the gospel because people need some hope to cling to in these kinds of times. Instead of going crazy with all the other stuff that's going on, we need to be spreading hope as well. All right? I'm believing the love and the hope of Jesus for my personal life, for my family's life, and for this church. And I'm hoping that that's your hope as well. That is something that is in you to say, I want to be a light for the gospel. I want to be part of the movement that happens as a result of what society is going through right now. I don't know about you, but I have never faced times like this. And I'm 62. I've never seen stuff like this happen. I've never seen stuff shut down. The only thing I remember that even likens to this is when I was a kid, it was during the Cold War when everybody was in fear of getting nuked, right? And so, you know, Russia had, I don't know, all these nukes aimed at us, and we had all our nukes aimed at them, and it was going to be a global meltdown, right? And so in the 60s, what happened was in classrooms, in my classroom, and I just grew up in a little town, and maybe that's why, but I remember we had a little sign on the wall that was yellow and black, and it said something about shelter. And I asked my dad one time, what is that thing? He said, oh, it's a fallout shelter. What's a fallout shelter? He said, well, when the nukes start happening, everybody runs into those fallout shelters. Are you kidding me? Do anybody remember that stuff? Yeah. And in school, what they told you was, when the nukes start happening, run out into the hallway. Or hide under your desk. And so, you look back at it now, you think, really? In a global meltdown, here's all these little kids hiding under their desks. I'm going to be safe, right? So, first of all, why are we telling our little kids they're going to all die in a global meltdown? And secondly, what good is hiding under our desks anyway, right? Anyway, it's kind of likened to this scenario where this like big deal is like, and everybody freaks out about it. Now, there's caution that has to be taken, right? And wisdom that has to be used. All of that stuff is right. But it should not dominate our lives. Yeah. It can't dominate our lives, especially as believers. Number five, we continue to worship. We do not stop seeking God. We have to have that kind of a mentality. We continue to grow in and through all the spiritual disciplines. We apply those things into our lives. We continue to read the Word of God. We continue to encourage one another in Hebrews 10. Or in Acts chapter 2, verse 46, it says, and day by day, attending the temple together. Again, this is the scenario of this wonderful church that was happening. Attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. But they kept coming together. They kept meeting together. They kept encouraging one another. All this stuff kept happening, right? And it's a very important thing that we continue to do that. People continue to live generously. Yeah. That our generosity doesn't stop just because the world is freaking out. We continue to pray. In fact, we should probably establish that as one of the chief cornerstones of our life and make it bigger than it actually is right now. Because that'll fend off a lot of the anxiety that we're facing, and it'll also give us a sense of the peace of God just coming through us. We need to be prayer warriors in this kind of time. Yeah. It's a time when people could coast in their pursuit of God because everything else is so crazy. It's like, well, I'll just get into the craziness. And we take a step back from our pursuit of righteousness and the goodness of God. And our relationship with Him could get put on hold. I would say, don't yield into that stuff. Don't get focused on all the wrong things. Focus on what's the most important thing, the thing that will be around when this whole craze is done. We need to be focused on that kind of stuff. I want to encourage you to display your faith and worship, not, you know, once a week, but I'm regularly, constantly, daily, that we're worshiping, that we're applying the disciplines into our life and all of that. As believers, we have just a different view of life, all right? So all of that is kind of the biblical precedent for what I'm going to say next, all right? So here's the practical implications of that here at Cedar Springs, and I'm really glad you guys are here. Like I said, we're videoing this so that everybody who's not here can see this. This is how Cedar Springs is going to function as a result of how we view this thing. And we met as an eldership team last week. These are the things that came out of that meeting. We've been prayerfully discussing these things back and forth, and we've really been seeking the Lord as to what are we going to do as a church? How do we cope with this? Different churches are handling it in all kinds of different ways. This is how we have chosen to deal with it. Is it the perfect way? Not, probably not. Is it the way we honestly and sincerely feel God is leading us? Yeah, absolutely so. So this is with full, clear conscience, this is how we're going to move forward. We're going to be suspending Sunday services for the next indefinite amount of time, okay? I say that just to give us a lot of leeway. We're complying with the spirit of governmental requests for, you know, everything over 250 is banned, basically, but everything under 250 is said, hey, you might want to consider and so we're going to comply with that as a church. I think wisdom would call for that, and I think that the witness that we have is not depending on whether we meet on Sundays or not, all right? Now, that's subject to regular review. We'll be looking at that on a weekly basis, and we'll be communicating that with you through the channels that we'll bring up in a little bit. I've always been biased to remain open. If you remember, about a year ago, we lost power. We met, and it was dark in here, and we had lanterns, and it was freezing cold. Everybody was in their coats, and we were in a circle, and we were like, oh, praise Jesus, and it was awesome. And we're always biased to stay open, but in this situation, we just don't feel that would be prudent. Along with our Sunday services, future events are suspended as well. Baptism, encounter night, all the things that have been on the calendar, those are suspended as well. All right, youth group has been suspended. Celebrate Recovery is going to be week to week. We believe that Celebrate Recovery serves a super valuable function in the lives of people that need encouragement and to be strengthened and all that. And also, it's a smaller group of people that can meet and maintain social distancing, all right? So 20 to 30 people in this building is not a highly contagious environment where a larger group meeting might be. So they'll be meeting this week, and that'll be on a week-to-week basis as well. Harvest House continues to operate. It'll be operating differently than it has in the past. In the past, we've had self-select shopping where people would go in and mill about in the pantry and select their own food. Now we're boxing food for people, and when they come here, they actually just get a box of stuff handed to them, and it's a little bit faster. It allows for not so much congregating of crowds, and only five people are checking in at one time, and all the measures are being taken so that if we really love people and if we want to serve the poor, it doesn't make sense to say, oh, we better shut down the food bank. That's kind of counterintuitive. So we're going to maintain the Harvest House food pantry. We are encouraging the church members to maintain connections with others through other means, okay? So Hebrews 10:23 says, let's hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who's promised is faithful. Let us consider how to stir one another up into love and good works. That all still has to happen. Just because we're not meeting on a Sunday doesn't mean that stuff goes away, right? We want to spur one another onto love and good deeds. We want to encourage one another, provoke one another, all those kinds of things. We want to do that. It just may not happen here on a Sunday morning. But hopefully, Sunday morning is not your only dose of Jesus. Hopefully, you get that on a daily basis on your own and on a regular basis with other people in your life that are feeding and encouraging and provoking you to love and good works. All that kind of stuff is still happening, just not happening here on Sunday morning. Okay? It's going to happen, and Joe's going to come up in a little bit, and we're going to talk about exactly how to make that work here. But it's going to happen through some social media. It's going to happen through... Now, this is weird, but it may even actually happen through a phone call where you actually talk to somebody on the thing that you hold up to your ear. It's going to be weird, I know, but there'll be some actual phone calls. You might want to answer your phone, okay? It might happen. I was going to say something, but I won't do that. Never mind. Okay, it's going to happen through some small group gatherings that we want to see formulate and continue. And again, using wisdom guidelines and all of that stuff. All right, so one of the other things that we'll be doing is we'll be recording and posting sermons and devotional thoughts, kind of like mini sermons, on our website and various other social media sites. We'd encourage you to use those to help guide and strengthen you in these times. You can also use those as discussion topics for any small group gatherings you might have. There'll be topics that are fairly pertinent to the times we're going through, encouragements and just kind of promoting the goodness of God and dispelling a bunch of the discouraging and fear-mongering that goes on around us. So that'll be happening on various website and social media type stuff. This is not a large church by any means, but it's a good enough sized church that a lot of you come here and we don't know you. And some of that is intentional on your part, I know that. You come late, sit in the back, and leave early, and you do that intentionally. I know you, okay? Now, what we really need to do is we really need to connect with you. We want to know who you are, because if you're coming here, that must mean you must trust us to some extent to feed you, to encourage you, to bond us together with another family member around, and all that kind of stuff is happening. So we want to see that happen on a more intentional basis. And so we really want to gather your contact information so that we can see you tied into the family of God. All right, Joe is going to come up and talk about that in a little bit. But please share your contact information. It would be just a shame if this thing went on for a few weeks, and at the end of those few weeks, you have had no contact with anybody, your faith is weak, you have this sense of nobody cares about me. All of that could happen if we don't know who you are. Or if we know who you are, but nobody knows your phone number or your email address or whatever, it would be a shame. Or if you never found out anything about us, like what's the church doing now? Where are we at? What are we going to do? When do we meet next? All that. If you don't give us that contact info, we can't do anything with you. We don't know. So I'm encouraging you, nearly begging, well, clearly begging, that you should do that. Yeah. Let us have your contact info, okay, so that you can connect with us and that we can connect with you. We still want to shepherd you. We still want to see you built up. We still want to see your faith grow. We still want to see you rich in the love of Jesus. We still want to see you being a part of the move of God, even though we're not meeting here on a Sunday morning, which should be just a minor part of your faith walk. If this is all you get, you're going to be pretty weak anyway. I believe you can be stronger at the end of this thing than you are right now if we do this thing well. And connect with one another and encourage one another and really devote ourselves to the Lord. Devote ourselves to the Lord, not having somebody else devote me to the Lord. Yeah. If I devote myself to the Lord, I'm going to grow in this coming time. And it can be a really good time. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. I'm excited about that. Honestly, church, I feel like this is an opportunity for the church to just do something amazing. This is an opportunity for the church to shine the way that the church is intended to shine. And if we utilize this opportunity that we have to show the love of God, to build people up, to share our stuff, to be generous with all that God's given to us, we could be so much stronger at the end of this thing. And God will get so much more glory as a result. And so this is the way we're looking at this. It's weird to think next Sunday this won't be happening. It's weird, because in my 44 years as a believer, I've never seen that happen. And so I get it. But at the same time, let's look at all the different ways that this can happen. Let's look at how can we see God get glory in this time that is causing so much trouble in the world today. Yeah? Yeah. Amen. Sir. Joe's going to come up in a little bit, and he's going to talk to you about that, okay? Okay, so let me say this. Hey, let's not stop worshiping God. Let's start seeking God with like we've never sought God before. This is not just some social disruption, right? This is a cataclysmic event worldwide that is affecting every society, every place, some to a greater degree than others, but it is a major deal. And this is the time the church is designed to shine in. So let's be that people, right? Let's do this. I'm excited about the challenges. I think we can do something really amazing. We could see transformation of many, many families and people's lives, maybe the community-wide thing. Who knows? Depending on how long this thing goes. But let's see this thing work in the favor of God. Right? All right. Can you do me a favor? Can you all stand up for just a moment? We're going to pray. And I want you to just agree with me as I pray. And then we're going to have Joe come up, and then we're going to worship some more, and then I'll send you out. Father, we are your people, and we love you above all else. God, we're so thankful that you've called us out, that you've created in us a sense of otherworldliness. God, that we are in this world, but we're really not of this world. That we've been created to be eternal beings in your care, and we entrust our lives to you. God, we trust you with every facet of our life. We want you to be in charge of all of that stuff. God, we relinquish control. We relinquish our anxiety. We relinquish our fears and allow you to just shower us with peace in its place. Yes, God, we want you to have full reign in us, reign over our thoughts, reign over our actions and our deeds. God, that in all those things, you would be glorified. You are such a good, good God. And we want to allow you to shine in this dark day that we're living in. Father, we know that you're not surprised, you're not shocked, you're not caught off guard in all of those things, that you are in control. And God, we just trust you that you're working good in the lives of people as a result. And God, in all the tragedies that we'll be hearing about, that all the bad things will be happening, we still can hold on to our hope that you are a good, good God and that you are our Father who loves us to extreme ways. God, we thank you for that. I pray, Father, that your church would rise up. I pray that your people would be strengthened in you. I pray that your word would rest in us and guide our heart and our thoughts. I pray your spirit would speak to us and move, God, for all of the stuff that you have for us to do, that we'd be ultra sensitive to your spirit and knowing your voice, hearing you speak to us and acting accordingly, God. Help us to be the church. Help us to be the light in this community that we live in. Father, for the neighbors in our surrounding area, God, we just pray for your peace. We pray that you would awaken their hearts to you. God, we pray that there would be curiosity and longing in their hearts for you in this time, and that your church would rise up and be there for the people who are looking for those kinds of answers. Father, thank you so much that you are the one that we can run to. You're the strong tower. You're the wings that we can hide under, God, and we take full advantage of that, but we're not going to hunker down and hide away. God, help us to be offensively moving in this society to bring the light of the gospel into people's lives. Yeah. Thank you so much for your goodness and your grace to us. In Jesus' precious name, amen. 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 One, go ahead and have a seat. One last thought I had before Joe comes up here. I was asked if the church will be open on Sunday mornings. We're not going to meet, but if there's a small group that wants to meet here or you want to cluster together and have a devotional time on your own, the church will be unlocked, okay? There won't be anybody here doing anything formal, but you'll have access to rooms if you want to have, you know, some rooms, or this room would be open as well. So if you want to have that, just feel free to use that and know that that's available, okay? My office. Yeah, right here.
Yeah.
If you want to be there live for that, that'd be awesome. Yeah. No, it won't be live streaming. It'll be recorded. Yeah. We won't be streaming it live. We'll be recording it and posting it recorded, pre-recorded. So I'll tell you when I'm doing it. Okay, there you go. So come on up. Smarty.
Good morning, church. Just an incredible opportunity we have as a church to get together. I'm going to share a few things. First and foremost, in this time, I don't want us to hunker down and not to, we need to be generous. Well, we need to be generous for the kingdom. I know a lot of us, our jobs are affected. We tend to want to cower back, but in Proverbs 3:9, I'm going to pull this up here. I should have had it ready already. Come on. Where are we at? Well, I guess my phone has the virus as well. Okay. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all of your produce. And I know for me, in these times, we want to just tend to, we're going to take the offering right now. I think it'd be appropriate to do that. My son is like, I'm not even going to wait for you. I want us to think about this right here. We tend to want to hold back finances. We tend to want to hold back giving or even being generous to our neighbors during this time. Maybe some of us we've all been affected in some sorts or another. But yet, as Christians, we need to set the example of being generous. We need to see the kingdom move forward. And so it says to give of our first fruits, that we would consider as stuff is coming in, as we're paying our bills, that this would be the first and foremost in our minds and of our lives. And so if you guys want to play some music, and can we play a joyful song? And we're just in the spirit of not keeping everybody close together and passing baskets. We're going to have everybody stand up. And you can either give now or give at the end. And then I'm going to break down some communication action points and share a couple things myself. But we're just going to sing this song, and then if you want to come up, give check, write a check, cash, whatever, and we just want to see people be excited about being generous, right? Are we excited? All right, so if that's you, come on up, throw whatever you want in the bin, and let's just see God move during this time. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you've called us to be faithful. You've called us to be generous. You've called us not to hold back, even when times are good and when times are bad, Lord. But I just pray that us as a body of believers, Lord, would say we want to see the kingdom advance. Even though we're not here going to meet in this building, but we want to see the kingdom advance in our neighborhoods, in our communities, and around the world. So, Lord, help us. Help us just to be sacrificial today, Lord, and during this time as well. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. Maybe I forgot some, I appreciate you guys. Maybe I forgot some point where we're supposed, am I supposed to get back down for worship? Okay. Good. Am I supposed to sing for worship? No. I think that was the most excited anybody got all morning when hearing about that. All right, I'm going to say some things and we're going to go over some communication. First and foremost, I want to say this. I read this. I thought this was a very convicting and very challenging as we're... If you guys are still giving, go ahead. Yeah, go ahead and sit down. We don't want to confuse this building or a building for the church. See, this building may be closed, but the church is always open, okay? We're always open. And the reality is that we are the church. You are the church. So be the church in your communities. We need to be the church in our homes. And I've been reading a lot of articles, and I'm like, consciences, I'll try not to cry, but I'm so affected to the core that I believe that all of us, as we continue to reach out to our neighbors, I know that there's all these fears and all these anxieties and all these things that we're dealing with, but if we begin to reach out maybe it's a text, or get maybe this time you don't even know your neighbor, and you're like, I want to go over. Maybe my neighbor is in this realm of the older population that seems to be affected, and you want to go over to your neighbor and say, hey, is there anything that you need at the store? Is there anything that we can support you? Guess what? I go to this church. You can plug the church if you want. You can tell them that you believe in Jesus. That's first and foremost. Let's see our community, our church, take action at this time when it seems like we just want to be all balled up and hide and retreat. Can we do that? And even as a church in ourselves, we need to be gathered in community, like Chris was saying. And there's several ways that we can do that. First and foremost, we've been announcing our church center app for a little over a year now, and I still know that there's several of us that do not have this app on our cell phone. It's right there. That's what it looks like. And when you download that app, and if you need help, please talk to me. Please talk to your neighbor. Hey, I don't know how to get this on my phone, and if they don't know how to do it, somebody else will. I do not want us to leave today not downloading this app or writing down, and as well, we have in the foyer, we have forms that you can fill out. Please, please provide, even if you know that you're in the system, don't buck the trend here, please provide your phone number, email, address if you want, name, that's very important. And we do not want to forsake this opportunity. One, it would be great as we move forward in the future as a church to be able to have everybody's contact information anyway. So do me a favor. I know there's no fantasy sports, so a lot of people have their phones tucked away. Pull out your cell phones right now and take a picture of that. Not of me, of this screen right here. So when you get home, if you're not able to download it, you can actually be like, oh, what was that? What did it look like? And you can actually download that. And then I'm going to give some more information as well moving forward in how else we are going to communicate. I want to give this encouragement, though. Here in Luke 14, as Chris was talking, I just felt like this was very appropriate for us. In Luke 14:25, says, now great crowds accompanied him, meaning Jesus, and he turned to them and said, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, desiring to build a tower, does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish it, all who see it will begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king going out to encounter another king in war will not sit down first and deliberate whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? And if not, while the other is great way off, he sends a delegation to ask for terms of peace. So therefore, any of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple. He's not saying that if you believe in me, you're not my disciple. He's not saying that. What he's saying is that we need to begin to count the costs of what it looks like to follow Jesus. And there's grace in all of this, and there's hope, and there's peace, but there's a time for us as a church to stand up and rise up and serve our community well and love our community, regardless of what the cost is. Is that exciting, church? Yeah. That's exciting. That we are living in exciting times. We're living in exciting times as we're able to come together in our church home, in our homes, in our churches, however you want to call it, and really get together and worship. And there's this video in Italy where they're all hunkered down. I don't even think they're allowed to leave their house. Some of you have seen it. And they begin to sing in the streets. And it was just so powerful. And I just pictured us as churches to begin to sing in our streets praises to the Lord. And coming together saying that he is great. He is worthy of our praise. He is worthy of our adoration. And yet not hide from what he is doing and not hide for what's going on around us. Okay. I'm going to stop talking about that now. Let's do this. Can we get another slide up, Facebook and Instagram? I also want you to take a picture of this. If you have not subscribed to our Cedar Springs Facebook account or Instagram account, do so now. This is where you're going to get even more communication. Things will be posted hopefully daily on a regular basis. There will be video links to YouTube or video links to another site that we're using as we're sharing devotionals or sermons, whoever's speaking. This is a very easy way to just get to know what's going on. We also have one called CSY_youth. That's the youth one. It would be great to have a lot of everybody in this church connected to that. And as well as you're filling that stuff out on your Church Center app or out there, you'll be receiving phone calls, personal phone calls, text messages, emails. And this is just a vital time for all of us to make sure that you're connected. And if you see somebody here that's not connected, get them connected. All right? Don't leave it on the leaders to connect everybody. Make sure that you're reaching out to connect other people in the church as well. Does that make sense? All right. This is a vital time for us to make sure that nobody slips through the cracks. And I want us to be able to come back and whatever time we come back together on a Sunday morning and this place be filled, because every single person was well taken care of, not just in our church, but in our community. Come on, that's exciting. Okay. I think that's all I was supposed to say. We good? Anybody have any questions? I know that's taboo to ask a lot of times. Please, again, I'm going to reiterate this 100 times. Do not leave today without downloading the app and connecting or filling out a Connect card or filling out the paper in the Connect booth. Please. Do we all hear that? Everybody hear that in the room? Yeah. Yes, Val. Oh, that's a good, thank you. That's what I knew, I'm forgetting something. On the app, there is an option to give. So if you want to give through the app financially, that would be incredible. You can give. Some of you guys think it's taboo. You can put your routing information on there. It charges 25 cents. If you give through the app, there is a fee. It will tell you what the fee is. You could choose to pay the fee or not pay the fee. You can always send in a check. You can always bring, the building will be open. You can always bring in cash, whatever you want. But the app is available to give, and I believe you can give through our website as well, or you can send a check electronically through your bank as well. So again, there's several options that we have to be the church away from this building, and that's why electronics are pretty cool, right? Go ahead. Yeah, there will be a link to sermons or to devotionals on the website as well, which is cedarspringsnw.com. Yeah, go ahead.
See me now. If you would allow me for the moment just to be a little bit of a prophetic voice. This is not a time right now for the church to go on a 6 or 8 week pause. That's not what this is about. This is not a time for the church to diminish or get smaller or weaker. This is a time for the church to get stronger and bigger and grow. And that's up to us. Let's not miss an opportunity to get together. And I'm going to just tell you, get creative. Get creative about getting together with other people in this church, in your communities. Invite your neighbors. Let's grow. Let's grow in our faith. Let's grow in our dependence on God. Let's grow in our missional mindset. let's get beyond these walls. This is the opportunity we have right now to get beyond these walls, take the message that we believe so strongly in, and get it out there in our neighborhoods and gather together and get bigger and stronger.
All right, one last thing before we worship. If you, on the paperwork out in the Connect booth, if you are interested in hosting a group in your home where you're be able to stream video or devotional and talk about it, pray together, worship together, please check that. Please check that box, and I'll connect with you. We would love to have several different sites where our church is meeting together, and also be encouraged to invite your neighbor over. You know, be encouraged to say, hey, I know you're just as scared as somebody else. What's going on? We would love to have you come over and hang out with us. Break bread together. Enjoy each other's company. All right? I know one more question and then, yeah. Yes. Yeah. Bob, if I heard Bob right, he said for anybody that's older that or anybody really does not know how to, one, download the app or use the app, please come talk to us after the service. Well, I'll be here as long as it takes to make sure everybody's equipped when they leave this place, all right? And anybody else will stay with me to help me that, because if not, it'll take all night to do it. All right. What? All right, one more person. Karen. Yes. Yeah. All right. Can I pray and then go into worship? All right. Thank you, Father. Thank you that it looks like we're being scattered, Lord, but yet I pray that you help us to be stronger in you, Holy Spirit, that you would come and bring peace to those that are caught up in this fear, caught up in this anxiety, Lord. And I just pray that you, that we would see that you are our rock of salvation, Lord, that that you have called us to be salt and light to our communities, Lord. And what a, just an example that you're even using us as a church, Lord, with Power Packs and Harvest House, and that I just pray that we are beginning to see, Lord, how these two ministries are affecting a large amount of people in this area. Lord, and I just pray that this opportunity, as food goes out, that people would just feel your presence, or that we would be excited that you have already created this pathway and this foundation for young children and for adults to receive food, but not only that, but receive love from your church. Lord, help us to be bold in our faith. Help us to declare your goodness and how great you are, and proclaim your name in all of this area and all of the earth, and not hold back in fear, Lord, but just go for it. Give us boldness to go for it, Father. You are an amazing God, and you deserve all of our praise, all of our adoration. And Lord, we will not hold back. Lord, let's just help us to be excited for what you're doing in this time, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.